Short Shorts with Josh and
Dan.
Dan, of course, Dan.
Short Shorts, we talk sports. Short Shorts.
It's Short Shorts with Josh and Dan. We'll give you $30 to listen to our show.
Checks will not be honored.
On tonight's episode of Short Shorts, Josh and Dan remove their undergarments for a 7-year-old schoolboy.
Why, here they come, Josh and Dan with the Short Shorts again.
Hello, shorties. Welcome to Short Shorts. Dan, it's been a while. A long, long time.
It's too long, Josh. Way too long.
We've got to apologize to the shorties. We had our first short-shortless week in history last week.
I was going through withdrawal. It was not a pretty sight.
I know. I think we cared more than the shorties, but...
I was snapping at people. I was cranky, throwing fits in the middle of public rooms. It was... I don't know what public rooms I'm talking about, but that's besides the point.
Well, in all fairness, you did move from San Diego back to the East Coast, and it's good to have
this
you here.
This is true. But I just want to take a quick moment. I'm going to take most of the blame. I want to apologize to Josh and the entire podcasting community. That was on me. I'm sorry, guys. If any shorties were also going through withdrawal and want to talk to me about it, let's start an internet message board type thing and let's talk.
Well, the email's on the website. If somebody wants to email Dan and just tell him their problems and how they feel, the email's on
vent,
there.
If you want to like talk about things, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, djshortshorts@gmail.com. Feel free.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a happy space.
A whole new revolution here.
All right. Well, let's
anyways,
let's kick
I think
the
this is a sports podcast from what I hear.
Yeah. Let's do some questions. Let's get into this. Let's do a little lightning shorts.
I've been aching for lightning shorts.
I think I have also.
Yeah, let's be honest.
So, lightning shorts, rapid fire questions, putting each other on the spot each week.
It's unfortunate the past week that we haven't done a podcast. There really hasn't been very exciting sports going on, huh?
The last week? Oh, I see. Sarcasm. Yeah.
Using a little sarcasm there, huh?
Yeah, way
to pick up on that one, buddy.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, we have good stuff coming this podcast.
I like that for a second you sounded really confused. You were just like, wait, what is Dan talking about?
Does Dan know anything? Should I just stop this podcast right now and go home?
Yeah, just go solo.
I could go solo. I don't need you.
Well, you're hurting my feelings right now, Joshua. That is not polite.
Look, more stuff will come out as the podcast goes along, but shorties, this is all Dan's fault. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, this is on me. I'm taking the hit on this one, guys. My bad, but I'm going to step it up. I'm going to short the shit out of you guys today.
All right, that's what I like to hear. I like to hear that. All right.
Don't even know what that means, but all right, let's continue. Lightning shorts. All the questions also, we don't know them. They're I prepare them. Josh doesn't know my questions, vice versa.
Yep. So let's start that with it. Here's a question for you.
All right, bring it.
Out of the four teams left in the playoffs, Nuggets, Lakers, Magic, Cavs, which team do you think has the least chance of making it this far next year?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Thank you. I had 2 weeks to plan it, so I'm ready.
I'm gonna say that Cleveland and LA both have just as good of a chance to make it, because I think, even though I think LA is actually of the bottom tier of those four teams, because of everything I've seen them, and Kobe's only going to get a year older, I just think that Kobe, as far as a regular season player, and the Lakers, as far as a regular season team, have enough to get them back to the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say, then in terms of Orlando and Denver, whew, man, both of them are young teams, both of them are good. I would have to probably say Denver, to be honest with you. I think Billups is going to get a year older, and I think that they've just had one of those years where everything really clicked. I think the fact that the trade happened this year, it's some of that honeymoon period might wear off next year, especially depending on how well they do for the rest of the remainder of the playoffs. I think Denver is going to do the worst of those four teams. I'm not saying they're going to do badly. I'm a huge fan of Denver. I love how Mel is playing, love how Billups is playing, and it seems like everyone's having fun playing with each other there. But I just don't think they're going to make it as likely to make it as far as any of those four.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, I think Denver's a really good team, and a lot of their core is still young. I mean, Chauncey's not, like, old by any means. And even though he'll get a year older, he'll still be playing Chauncey basketball.
Yeah.
Melo's young.
I love Chauncey basketball, by the way. I can't get enough of it.
I think the problem with the Nuggets is just that I think the other teams in the West are getting get much better and play better, especially come playoff time. They'll be healthier. Yeah, I think the Nuggets are going to have a tough time next year.
I think the teams in the East are getting better, too. I think Philadelphia and Chicago gained a lot of swagger this season. Even though they both lost in the first round, they both did, you know, unexpected. You know, you saw it with Atlanta 2 years ago, and they did a lot better this regular season. I think Miami as a team is going to grow because they're a young team outside of Wade. So the Eastern Conference, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised that the Eastern Conference makes a pretty big jump this year, especially a lot of those bubble teams in the East that just missed the playoffs, I think are going to build on that.
Yeah, you know, maybe Orlando's a team that has the toughest chance of making it this far next year. just because, I mean, we've talked about how Dwight Howard hasn't really, like, made that jump. He's always been a really good player.
I didn't think he was going to be able to make that jump. I think he's made that jump this postseason.
I don't know. I mean,
just think when big men make the jump, it just comes across differently than when shooters make the jump.
It's just also tough to have one big guy than a lot of guys taking outside shots because it's you know, your play is pretty variable. And you look at a team like the Rockets in the mid-90s, like they had Hakeem and they had all these outside shooters.
Yeah, but Hakeem's a different player than what?
Of course. Hakeem is much better. But it's a tough formula. You don't see that very often with, like, you know, one big guy and then outside shooters. You look at, like, all the, you know, the teams that have won recently have been more complete, whether it's the Spurs, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Pistons.
Can I throw something out there for you?
Sure, throw it.
I will throw it. So I was watching last night's game, and Orlando's team really is starting to remind me as a slightly not as good version as last year's Celtics. I think you've got the big man down the middle. Obviously, Howard and KG play different games. But Turkoglu kind of reminds me of, like, a poor man's Pierce. Rashard Lewis kind of reminds me of a poor man's Ray Allen. Alston and Rondo play slightly different games. Rondo's probably a better passer. Alston's probably a better shooter. But they kind of have that same, like, dynamic, you know, whereas, you know, like, with Rashard Lewis kind of has some really good games, some off games his playoffs. Ray Allen last year, some great games, some really, like, invisible games. And Turkoglu and Pierce just remind me, I think they're very similar players.
I mean, I think the key thing is you call them all poor man versions of the Celtics players, because they really
Boston
are.
Boston won the championship, and I don't think Orlando's, maybe they win a championship, who knows.
But you can't, I think I might buy some of those comparisons, but man, Pierce to Turkoglu, there's a pretty big difference there.
Okay, that's a stretch, absolutely. And I mean, Rashard Lewis, even though he had a great game in game four of the series thus far, but... both of those are poor man conversions. But then I think the biggest difference, and no offense to Garnett, is just what Dwight Howard brings to the table.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, Dwight Howard's what, like 25? I have no idea how old Dwight Howard is. He's like 25 years old?
I think he's actually 14 years old.
He's a freak.
Wait till that kid hits puberty.
12 feet tall. Can't wait for that.
Why do you think he's so obsessed with superheroes and everything like that? It explains it, you know?
That's true. Superhero sheets.
I think I might be onto something. Someone needs to check that man's birth certificate.
This is like a reverse Danny Almonte.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's weird and it makes no sense, but I think I'm onto something.
All right. Good stuff. What else you got?
Yeah. That was a great question.
Thank you.
It's tough to top it.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a question. This one involves specifically the Cleveland-Orlando series.
Okay.
Who would you say is the third most important player in that series?
After LeBron and Dwight, you're saying?
Well, yeah, that was kind of assumed, but yeah.
Okay, just for the fans out there.
Yeah, you're right. Just for some of our not as intelligent fans out there. Sorry if I insulted anyone with that.
Tough question. Okay. Well, let's see. The Cavs lost last night, and they didn't get much. Well, they got pretty poor shooting from Mo Williams. They'd got...
After Mo Williams, like, quasi-guaranteed, by the way.
He did. They got very little from the bench.
What is he thinking, guaranteeing a game?
What?
What is he thinking, guaranteeing a game?
I don't
After
know.
After he shot... I mean, Mo Williams is bothering me more and more as this postseason goes on.
Well, the thing with guarantees is that they used to actually mean something, and now they mean nothing.
And also, as a hockey fan and a Ranger fan, after Messier is guaranteed in Game 6, I gotta meet my quota of one hockey reference per podcast, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All guarantees mean nothing to me, unless you can deliver a hat trick in Game 6 on the road.
Well, how about the Giants and Jim Fossil, when the Giants made the playoffs, when they made the Super Bowl against the Ravens, you know, Fossil guaranteed they make the playoffs, and then they won all the rest of their games, or most of them, and they made it.
Well, then they get dominated by the Ravens.
Yeah, but they still made it to the Super Bowl. That's pretty impressive.
I'd say the Rangers won the Cup, no big deal, whatever, 54-year Cup drought. That was a good exhale.
All right.
That exhale embodies all of what you've had to deal with working with me.
All right.
I think I asked a question about sports.
Yeah. Here's what I kind of have it narrowed down to. I think players like Petrus are important, coming off the bench, playing defense on LeBron, playing really well. He played 40 minutes last night, by the way.
I was going to say, I had Petrus as my kind of dark horse for the answer for this question.
See, he's the dark horse. He's not the real answer. I think I got to go with, man, this is tough, but I think I'm going to go with your boy Mo Williams. I'm going with Mo Williams.
Mo Williams, okay.
Because the thing with the Magic is that they have many other pretty reliable scoring options when you've got, I mean, Rafer's playing out of his mind, especially yesterday, but he's still good for a couple points a game. Rashard Lewis does his thing, so does he do. Petrus has a good outside shot. But you look at the Cavs and it's like, you don't know who's going to step up each game, but you need Mo Williams to play well each game, and then somebody else will also play well. Like maybe Mo and LeBron play well, and then Delonte West plays well. Or maybe they both play well, and like Ilgauskas scores 15. You know, but they need Delonte. I mean, sorry, they need Mo not to be like a Pippen, but they need him to be somewhat reliable in terms of his production for the Cavs to win. So
I think that's a great. I think it's going Delonte. Into that question. I was kind of leaning with either, to be honest with you, Rashard Lewis or actually Michael Petrus. I think his defense of LeBron in the fourth quarter is, I think it's an X factor. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you make a great point that with Orlando, if Turkoglu has a bad game, or Rashard Lewis has a bad game, or Petrus has a bad game, or Alston has a bad game, one of those four will pick it up for the guys that aren't playing well. You know.
Yep.
And we've seen it all playoffs so far, in the Celtics series and in this series and in the Philly series. Whereas with Cleveland, you know what you're getting from LeBron, but it's kind of like having that one extra score really is making a difference for them.
Definitely. I got to give it to Mo. I got a question for you. Two questions. First of all, how amazing was the three-pointer LeBron made at the end of overtime?
Oh, when he was like almost on the line?
Yeah, and then he pretty much landed land out of bounds.
Yeah, and he was ice cold. I mean, they were still down by one or two after he hit that. But it was just like no reaction after. It was unbelievable. Yeah, it was a great shot.
I mean, the shot doesn't get enough credit because it didn't tie the game up or give him the lead.
Yeah.
But that was an absolutely incredible three-pointer. His feet were barely in bounds. He landed a foot out of bounds. It was insane.
It reminded me of a Gilbert Arenas kind of three-pointer. Oh. Just like no hesitation, just pop it up.
Also,
I love that. I mean, even though good players, all players should hit their free throws. LeBron has been questioned a lot in his career, and earlier in the game he was missing some big free throws.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the fact that he hit those free throws. It's easy to forget that because they lost the game.
Yeah, I thought he missed one of those, to be honest.
No, he hit both of them. But no, actually, I thought he retracted what I just said, because I should never praise a guy that's praised as the chosen one for hitting free throws.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't care about the pressure. If you're claiming to be like a global icon and you want to be the best player in the world, you should hit free throws. So I retract my praise. Sorry, LeBron.
But then you're saying you can't praise him for anything.
I'm okay with that.
Other thing I was going to say is that I thought that last second shot was going to go in.
Did you hear Doug Collins ask Marv Albert, did you think it was going to go in? Without hesitation, Marv Albert gives one of his patented yes.
He said yes?
Yeah, without hesitation. It was great. Wow, you do the impression a lot better than I do. Almost like freakishly too well, by the way.
Marv's my man. We talked about this. I love Marv Albert.
This is true. This is true. All right, should we move on to my question?
I think it's my question now.
Oh, shit. You're right.
All right, so Dwight Howard got teed up last night for a little taunting Anderson Varejao.
I was not a fan of it. But if that's your question.
No. But he was taunting Varejao, which I'm sure you were a fan of, after he made that really nice layup and got fouled, got the end one. And it's sad how, well, first of all, Dwight Howard has six technicals. You know, he misses a game if he gets one more tee. But it's sad how it's becoming harder to show emotion after you make a big bucket. And I was kind of thinking back into like the last 10 years or so of players that were known for their like post-bucket celebrations. Like Jason Terry does the Jet. Quentin Richardson.
I do the Jet in my living room all the time, just running around like a mini airplane.
Richardson and Darius Miles do that thing where they like hit their hands on their head. I don't know what that is. Larry Johnson would make the L with his two arms. Dikembe Mutombo does the finger wag after he gets a big block.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to go for post celebration kind of plays, you got to recognize the finger swag.
I love how Dikembe also, he can he gets teed up if he does a finger wag at the player he blocked. But if he finger wags into the audience, that's okay. That was the rule. So good for him. Shaq.
I've seen baseball too with some pitchers. Jova Chamberlain's getting some recognition for that.
You see how Aubrey Huff hit a home run off him, and then he did a big fist pump
when
he.
Oh, I did see that. I like that. I mean, because if you're a pitcher and you're going to do it, that's fine. But expect to get some stuff back for it. You know,
Aubrey did a fist pump as he hit it, as he went to first base, and then when he got to home plate, even a bigger fist pump.
I like it. I like Aubrey Huff's name, and I like his style.
I like him also. He's on my fantasy team. What's not to like?
I know, Josh. I know.
Last, I was thinking about, like, you know, Shaq would hold his hand up and look at his hand when he got a big dunk.
I love the hand stare. That might be my favorite.
Anyway, this is where it's going exactly. Is what is your favorite NBA celebration?
I gave you a bunch. I really like 3-point shooters. I really like when 3-point shooters kind of leave it up there for a second. You know.
Oh, so that was like a John Starks thing. He would like.
I feel like a lot of players have done that, but yeah. So I'm a big fan of that.
Give me a specific player, though.
Specific player. Whew.
I gave you a bunch, but there's a lot more
out
there.
All right, this only happened for one game, but he did it throughout the entire game. Am I allowed to use this example?
Oh, of course.
All right, I'm kicking it. Latrell Sprewell, after he got traded from the Knicks, his first game back in New York, every single time he lit up the Knicks that night for like 30-something points. And every single time he scored... who's the Knicks president? Charles Dolan.
Oh yeah.
Every single time that he scored, Charles Dolan was sitting like first row. He would stare down Charles Dolan, and then at one point after he scored a nice, you know, like little basket, he gave him the cutthroat sign.
Wow.
That was my favorite. I mean, you make it sound as if that now I sound kind of like a sick person.
No, I said wow, so I looked up his name. His name is actually James Dolan. That's okay though.
Oh, okay, yeah, my bad.
Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, Charles Dolan might be someone else. But anyway, sorry, Charles. I just put a death threat out on you. Via Latrell Sprewell. That might be my favorite.
That was a really cool one.
John Starks, leave the hand up there, and the Shaq are in close running. Shaq stare at the hand.
The Sprewell thing was cool because like, of how like messed up of a dude Sprewell was and all the thing that came after.
In New York, though, and that's what I loved about it. You know, I love when players really thrive in the New York atmosphere. You see it time and time again that players can't handle it.
Yeah.
And there's some players that want nothing but to play under the New York spotlight, and he was certainly one of those players.
See, now it's impossible for you to not bring up Reggie Miller right now, because Reggie Miller would always do the choke sign to Spike Lee. He would talk to Spike Lee the entire time. I mean, you know, those kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah,
Sprewell and Miller stuff.
Well, that I wasn't as much of a fan of because as a kid, Reggie Miller gave me nightmares.
Why?
Did you mention Chris Anderson in one of your examples?
No, I thought you might mention that one, though.
Okay, well, what do you think about... I've had interesting conversations. One of my good friends is really not a fan of Chris Anderson and thinks that just because he's a recovering drug addict, he gets tons of more praise than he should. And he puts up the same kind of numbers and same kind of plays that anyone else does, but he gets more praise for it because of his recovery.
Well, I wouldn't say the same kind of numbers. He was second in the NBA in blocks. I mean, that's pretty impressive in itself.
See, that's what I think. And I also think that, you know what, regardless of all that, Denver fans completely buy into it. The team buys into it that, like, they get really fired up when he gets those kind of plays.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if that's an X factor, you can't quantify that. So if you could provide your team with that extra spark in this competitive of a league, if you get that extra edge, take that extra edge. Even if it means that Chris Anderson had to shoot himself up with heroin for a couple of years, you know?
Yeah, if that's what it takes, then...
you gotta maybe, take one for the team.
That's what it takes. Maybe you should start doing that.
Oh, maybe I already have, Josh. I gotta take one for the podcast. I'm hoping that in like a year from now, people start listening to this podcast just because they're like, that recovery story from heroin to podcaster, it's an amazing story.
Well, Chris Anderson gives them... The physical boost with like the blocks, you know, second in the NBA in blocks, but also there's an emotional thing with his energy. And I think in general, when it comes to this, like him being a recovering drug addict, America loves the comeback story. And you know what?
Yeah.
If America embraces Michael Vick in 2 years, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I swear to God, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know if that's gonna happen. I feel like drug addict and like killing dogs are pretty different. But we'll see. I mean, it's tough. Cause
let me modify that. The fan base of the team that Michael Vick plays for will embrace him.
That's true. Yeah, you'll definitely see like a San Francisco Giants kind of like embrace that as it did with Barry Bonds kind of thing. And he also needs to make sure that he helps out the community and really kind of like you know, like what Chris Paul did with New Orleans, because that's a similar thing. Not similar. He never killed dogs or did heroin, but he did kind of had a thug image. He went to New Orleans, did a boatload of charity, and, you know, New Orleans loves him as a result, kind of thing.
Yeah. He's also amazing, so they also have that reason to love him. So
I mean, he's in the NBA, and it's where amazing happens, you know?
Well, the key to the Vic thing is that Vic can do all the positive things in the world, but if he comes back and sucks it up, it's not going to matter, because no one's going to have any love for
him. That's true. Right now, if yes or no, do you think Vic is going to suck it up?
Yeah, I mean, in general, like, look at Vic's career. He's not that good of a quarterback.
But he took his team to a conference championship, though.
Yeah, but that was such a weak conference. And if you look at him in general, he makes a lot of plays on his feet that get a lot of highlight real attention. But, like, he's never been an accurate thrower. He can throw the ball 75 yards, but he can't hit a guy who's, like, 10 yards away. So
that's an exaggeration. I don't think it's going to be right away. I think it becomes an impact quarterback again in the league.
Really, an impact quarterback. See, impact. I would argue that he was never an impact quarterback.
Wow, that is a slap in the face, Josh.
Well, let's see how it plays out. Let's see.
All right, we will. All right, should we go on to the next question?
Yeah, what do you got?
All right. I want to preface this question, by the way, with this might be one of my favorite questions in our podcast history.
Jesus, okay.
I really like it. All right. I want you to list me 10 things that you hate about Anderson Varejao. And before you answer, I'm going to preface. Well, I can't preface it anymore. I already said the question. I'm going to post-face it. I don't know if that's a word.
Post-face, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to conclude it with, I've listed 12 things, just in case you have trouble with it. So I'm more than willing to help, because I absolutely hate Anderson. My original question is, who do you hate more, Sasha Vujicic or Anderson Varejao?
Mm-hmm.
And then just like the past couple of games was just like, it's a landslide. It's not even worth asking anymore.
All right, well, how about this? Why don't you give me, I'll take 1 minute to name as many things as I can. And then when I finish my minute, you can name all the ones that I missed that you have on your list.
Done. Let me get out a pen. I'll start checking them off as you get them.
All right, get that pen ready.
It's ready.
All right, so here's my minute. My minute begins right now. All right. Yeah. His hair.
Yep.
His flopping.
I have both of those.
His, let's see, the way he complains after every call.
Yeah, I had that.
Oh, man.
Oh, I had the fact that he complained so much twice. I only have 11.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Can you say his doofiness?
Yeah, let's go for it. I didn't have it, but I like your creativity. Thinking outside the box, Josh. That's what I like about you.
The way that he thinks his teammates like him.
Oh, that's a great one. I think his teammates do like him, but let's just change that to the fact that his teammates like
him. let's see.
So you're right now at, let's see, 4, 5, 6 right now. 4 more, Josh. You got this.
Okay. His name. I hate his name.
Yeah, I hate his name also. I hate pronunciation of his last name.
Well, here, I'll do 2. I hate the pronunciation of his last name, and I hate that his first name is actually a last name.
Oh, that is amazing. Wow, you're answering this question better than I gave you credit for.
I hate how he's so incredibly clean-shaven. He's got to have a little...
Yeah, he should grow a sketchy beard. He should talk to Drew Gooden and grow something sketchy about it.
Grow something on there. Come on, man.
Seriously, what a waste of a face.
I hate his number, even though I have no idea what his number is. I hate it.
All right, that's 10. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you. What's funny
is the number thing, I had that, but for a different reason.
Okay.
All right, so can I quickly give you the ones that I had that you didn't have?
Yeah, do it quick.
Really quick. The fact that he held out annoys me.
Oh, good one.
The fact that he's going to get millions this year as a free this offseason as a free agent, that's really annoying. He's going to make more money than you and I ever combined.
Yes.
Unless this podcast really takes off.
Nope.
But, you know. Anyways, he's going to make more money than us combined.
Mm-hmm.
He might actually win an NBA championship.
Oh.
Good one. The camera guy always knows to zoom in on him immediately after he's involved in a play, knowing that he's going to make that throw up his arms, complaining face.
Yep.
The fact that he wears number 17, which is the same number as Brandon Dubinsky on the New York Rangers, who is my favorite Ranger player.
Oh, boohoo.
Yeah, I know. It's messed up. the fact that announcers routinely say, oh, he's such a great actor, and they say it in like a complimenting kind of fashion.
Good one.
I mean, they never call him out. And Van Gundy might a little bit, but they're always complimenting him on it.
Yeah.
And let's see. I think I had one more. No, I think that's it.
That was nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Did you like that question?
I think we've officially trashed Anderson Varejao. It's official.
Yeah, and we're done. Now I finally have closure on the Anderson Varejao era.
That's excellent.
All right, I am done with that question.
All right, so
I feel like a weight has been lifted off my chest. I was like, I've been watching this series, just jotting down things that I hate about him.
That's really great. I like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not very healthy, but yeah, it's great. Sure,
it is what it is, and it's definitely a good thing.
All right, your question for me, buddy.
Actually, we're done. We're gonna do a little Betting Man recap.
Okay.
So Betting Man, each podcast, Dan and I make a bet and a wager. The bet is involving something with the sports world, and somehow the wager can be anything. Last bet, last podcast, ages ago,
yeah.
And you're going to see how outdated it was because of the bet. The bet was, it involved Kobe doing work, and we put the over-under at 4.5 for how many times they show Kobe lifting up his kids. Because
it wasn't just any kids, though.
His kids.
But then if you lifted up sick kids, it was a minus one, correct?
Right, if you lifted a sick kid up.
I was praying that he would go to like a children's hospital. I would have dominated this bet.
See, the problem was that I don't think you or I watched any trailers for Kobe doing work. And Kobe doing work follows one game and one game only. It doesn't follow like Kobe in the life of Kobe, giving him much more chance to pick his kids up over and over again. It just follows one specific game.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, over-under was 4.5. I took the over. I figured he'd be picking up kids left and right. Mainly his kids. Maybe one sick kid in there to take minus one.
Maybe accidentally shoot a kid into the basket. Who knows?
Wow. That's life.
And, by the way, if it goes in, the point value of the shot affects how many kids he picked up.
Gotta have a pretty small kid to fit in the rim, though.
Yeah, that's true. But there's some midgets out there.
Wow. If we can offend sick people enough, now we've offended midgets.
Yeah. There's always going to be an ethnicity or some sort of faction to offend.
Real quick on Kobe doing work. I liked it. I'm not a big Kobe fan. Never have been. I respect the guy like crazy. The problem with the documentary, which I'm sure has been said by everybody, is that everybody knows they're being filmed. Everybody's probably acting differently. Kobe's probably speaking more than he would ordinarily. People are acting nicer towards him than they would ordinarily. So things like that kind of bug me. In terms of Kobe lifting his kids, he lifted his smaller child up after the game. His older child hugged him. There was only one lift up. That's it. Dan, you won the bet, so I took the over.
I'm giving myself a little round of applause. I'm pretty fired up.
You should be. And the wager last week was that the loser has to find out five non-basketball... Wait, do we say five non-basketball facts?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a problem. I found out some basketball facts.
Whatever.
It's been so long ago, who cares? The loser has to find out five basketball or non-basketball facts about Kobe that are positive things. Because we do a lot of Kobe trashing, even though we respect him like crazy. Now we've got five non-basketball or basketball facts that are positive things. Kind of interesting things about him that you might not know.
So let's start off our segment called Joshy Doing Work.
Joshy Doing Work. Here they are. Five facts. I'm going to go... Okay, here we go. So something you might not know about Kobe, this is the first fact, is it's actually 2-1, is that Kobe has the NBA record for most consecutive threes, 9, and the most in a game, 12.
Okay.
Interesting. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
Okay. Number 2. On December 20th, 2005, Kobe scored 62 points in the first three quarters against the Dallas Mavericks. So entering the fourth quarter, Bryant had more points than the Mavericks team combined, 62-61, and it's the only time since the advent of the 24-second shot clock that any players ever had more points through three quarters than the team they're playing against.
Wow. Cool.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I'm surprised that's the case with all of those. Didn't, what's his name? Wilt put up like the 100-point game?
Yeah, but I think that the final score of that game was like 150 to 130. It was just...
Ah, that's true. That's
you know,
true.
It was way up there.
Outscore the other team with that.
So that was all interesting. Right.
Interesting fact, numero tres.
Number 3. His second daughter, and sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong, Gianna Maria Onore Bryant, was born on May 1st, 2006. And Gianna was born 6 minutes ahead of former teammate Shaquille O'Neal's daughter, and her name, correct me if I'm wrong, is Mayara Sana O'Neal.
Wow, beautiful names by Shaq and Kobe.
So 6 minutes ahead of Shaq.
Those are pretty weird names too, Kobe and Shaquille.
And you know what? That leads right into my next point. Kobe is named after the famous beef of Kobe Japan, which his parents saw on a menu one time.
That is really weird. Isn't that the kind of beef where, like, cattle, like, have no interaction with any of society? Their muscles are massaged. They play, like, opera music to the cows before they slaughter them. Pretty sure I read that somewhere. I'm not sure where.
They put the red carpet down right into the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, don't quote me on that one, guys.
Kobe beef. Yeah, Kobe beef costs like $1,000 for a steak. So
wow, I'm calling him Kobe beef from now on. All right.
And last but not least, Kobe develops new moves in the offseason by playing against his shadow.
That is the stupidest, dorkiest thing I've ever heard in my life, I'm in love with it.
That reminds me of, just thinking about it now. Remember, you had NES, right, back in the day?
Josh, I'm insulted that you even asked me. Okay. Please continue.
The second Zelda game, the final boss that Link would face was his shadow. And it had this incredible thing where it would mirror your every move, but then, like, once in a while you can get a quick move in there.
All right, I gotta be honest. I know I just gave you a hard time for asking me about my NES knowledge, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
See, I think Kobe would know. I think Kobe grew up playing this Link game. He would play Kobe against his shadow in the game, and then he adapted it to real life, obviously.
Kobe was the kind of kid, I think, that had baseball catches by himself as a kid.
Throw it as far as you can. Go get it. Throw it as far as you can.
That's pretty sad that he plays against his shadow. It's just like, why not find a guy who's a lockdown defender and just play against him?
I think because Kobe thinks that the best defense for himself is probably himself, so...
Oh, what an arrogant bastard. All right, I wish I never knew that. Was that the number one fact?
I mean, that was the last fact. I don't know if it was number one.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I mean. All right, let's move on to... Let's move on to this week's bet, yeah?
Yeah, so this week's bet, big surprise, I came up with it, is...
Oh, wow, cheap shot.
We've got...
Deserved.
Yeah, we do. It is. The three biggest scorers in the playoffs right now that are remaining: Carmelo, Kobe, and LeBron. So what we're going to do is, by the time we do our next podcast, we're each going to take one of these players, and we're saying we're going to pick which player has the highest average by our next podcast, which let's say we're doing a podcast Monday.
And we're doing points, strictly.
Yeah, points, highest scoring average. And the thing that's tricky is that, like, the Cavs could lose tomorrow, Thursday, and they could be done. So LeBron would play one game. But you got to think, you know, is LeBron going to go out in a blaze of glory and score 50 points
and
losing
effort?
Yeah,
and the game's in Cleveland.
But then Melo and Kobe have at least two games each by the time we do our next podcast. So
I have it down to two players I want to choose.
All right, so it's Melo, Kobe, LeBron.
Okay.
You know what? Tell me who you want, and then if I want him also, I'll argue with you.
Well, I have it between two. I either want to go LeBron or Melo.
Okay, well, that's actually perfect, because I want to take Kobe.
All right, but now I need to make a decision because I can't take both.
Right, well, you think the thing here that I'm taking Kobe, say you take LeBron, yeah. But if Melo is the highest scorer, we both lose.
Yeah, have and we said what the actual wager is?
No, but I think, choose who you want first. Talk it out.
All right, talking it out, I agree with everything you said about LeBron. I think he's going to have a big game. But I like Melo a lot more, so I'm going Melo.
Wow, just the rooting interest.
Yeah, just for sheer interest. And he's got more games left in the series, probably, but maybe not, actually. Who knows?
Well,
but I'm going to go
potentially.
Melo.
Well, this is nice. Now we've got Melo and Kobe. I got Kobe, you got Melo. We're going head-to-head. If LeBron has the highest scoring average by the time we do our next podcast, we both lose. Here's the wager. What do you know? I came up with it. Here we go.
Oh, another shot below the belt, Joshua. But deserved, though.
It is. That's the last shot.
A jump shot that was deserved. Very rare.
Okay. So I've got Kobe. Dan's got Melo. If Kobe is the highest scorer of those three, I win. Dan's got to draw a picture of me with Kobe doing something fun. Whatever it is. Maybe we're at a theme park. Maybe we're playing Nintendo.
Can I just have to be like crayons? Can I use colored pencils? Maybe
I think it's,
even highlighters, perhaps?
I think you've got to use some sort of like a crayon, a marker, a pencil.
Okay.
If you have some chalk, maybe a nice pencil drawing, whatever it is. I think it's got to be something very nice.
All right, done. I was going to do that anyway, so this works out really well.
So here's the tough part, though, is that if Kobe wins, I win. If Melo wins, you win. And I draw a picture of you and Melo doing something fun. If LeBron wins, we both lose, and I'm thinking we each have to draw a picture. I would draw a picture of you with LeBron, but LeBron's mad at you.
Okay.
You got to draw a picture of me with LeBron, and LeBron is furious with me for
done.
Not choosing
done.
It. Done deal. That's it.
All right. Good stuff, man.
All right.
Looking forward to seeing our artistic sides.
Me too.
And we'll scan it and post it on the website, obviously.
Oh, I mean, that goes without saying.
I'm saying it.
All right. Well, shorties, we're back. It's never felt so good. And I think now that Dan's back in the East Coast, we're going to try to do at least one podcast a week. Hopefully,
yeah,
two.
At least, yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to put our average at 1.5.
If we can get like a Monday and Thursday podcast thing going, I think that'd be perfect.
That would make me happy.
Quick plugs? Want to do a little quick plugging?
Yeah, but you plug it. You know I'm not good at this.
You don't even know our website's address.
Do we have a website?
Sure. All right, the blog is shortshorts.tumblr.com. We post all the results of our bets up there, whether it's like a picture or what have you. Commenting, feel free. Twitter is twitter.com/short_shorts, which we'll continue updating now, especially that we're back in the podcast realm.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dan's diary is dansdiary.com/kittens.
Oh, Josh, you're so funny with the little one-liners.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff, man. Good to be back, buddy.
Great to be back, and we'll be back soon. So look out for Melo, Kobe, and LeBron over the next few games.
All right, take it easy, buddy.
Cool, man. All right, see ya.